And let me just tell you this to give you kind of a hint about it. It's a whale of a tale, man. It's a whale of a tale. Anybody know what it is? Check it out. It is the book of Jonah. Jonah. How many of you know who Jonah is in the Bible? Man, I love the book of Jonah. It's an absolute awesome book. Matter of fact, I want to challenge you this week to read the book of Jonah. I want you to read the book of Jonah, and here's why. Here's what you need to know. Number one, as far as just a simple idea about it, it is a simple book to read. It is so simple. Here's the truth. You ready? It's only got four chapters, 48 verses. You can read it if you take a little bit of time on the commode. That's how fast you can read through the book of Jonah. It's an absolute great book, and it is a great, great fish story. Anybody like fish stories? Come on, I love fish stories, man. The guys I hang with, they love fish stories. I love fish stories. So in light of that, how many of you know who Boudreaux and Thibodeau is? Anybody know who Boudreaux and Thibodeau? How many of you don't know who Boudreaux and Thibodeau are? Oh, I'm so glad. Glad you raised your hand. Boudreaux and Thibodeau are two crazy Cajuns that live down in southern Louisiana, and they do all kinds of crazy things all the time, all right? And actually, if you're from southern Louisiana, it's just a common joke, Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes, all right? So in light of that, I figured I'd start out with a Boudreaux and Thibodeau joke because I just love them. All right, so get this. Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they heard that the fish were biting, man. They heard the fish are biting, and I tell you what, they are so excited to get out and get fishing. So in light of that, they don't have a boat, so they go down to the local river, and they get down there and they rent themselves a boat, and they get out on the water and they cruise across the water. They try a couple spots, and finally they ran across this spot, and they are catching fish, man. They're catching fish just hand over fist. They're just catching fish over and over. They're catching so many fish, they're worried about the game warden showing up. So they're catching fish, man. They're catching so many fish. Finally, they get to the end of the afternoon, and they're like, man. Boudreaux looks over at Thibodeau, and he goes, hey, man, make sure you mark this spot. We want to make sure tomorrow that we come back and we can get in this spot. He's like, hey, man, no problem. I got it. So he marks the spot, and they leave. They go back, and they're turning in the boat, and Boudreaux looks over at Thibodeau. He goes, hey, man. You marked that boat? Or he goes, hey, man, you marked that spot? He goes, yeah, man, I marked it right here on the boat. Thibodeau looks at him. He goes, you dummy. What was you thinking? How you know we're going to get the same boat tomorrow? I love fish stories. I really, really do. There's something about fish stories that just grow as time goes on. Well, listen, in the Bible, the Bible says that there was a man named Jonah. Now, again, it's a short book. You can read it this week, all right? Now, just to put it into context, the book of Jonah was written about in the 4th century B.C. before Christ, before 500 years before Jesus came to the earth. So several thousand years ago. And in light of that, a lot of times there is a lot of people that would debate the idea of the book of Jonah. And let me just tell you what I mean by the book of Jonah in the debate. They would say there is no way that a man can live in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. It's just impossible for a man to live that long in 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. Especially scoffers, people that don't want to believe in the Bible. And let me just say it this way. If you don't believe in the Bible, you got bigger problems than just a whale and a fish story. How many of you know there are some miraculous things that happened in the Bible? How about this one? Moses walking across on dry ground over the Red Sea. How many of you know that's a miracle? How many of you know Joshua told the sun to stand still and the sun stood still? Come on, how many of you would like to have that power in Indiana in January? Yeah. See, the reality is there are a lot more difficult things to explain. Jesus walked on the water, y'all. I mean, Jesus fed 5,000, right? Paul raised the man up. He healed his hand or raised the dead. I mean, you got all these different stories. So my point being this, if the biggest problem you have with the Bible is the fact that a man lived in a fish for 3 days and three nights, think about this. God made the sun, the moon, the earth, and everything in it by speaking it. He flung the stars into existence. He took and formed man from the dirt and breathed him, and then you had a dirt speaking. Look at your neighbor, say, that's you. Yeah. Yeah, we're all just dirt speaking. That's what we are. Hey, listen, and not only that, think about this. You lived in your mama's womb for 9 months. Unless you got the quick ticket and you came out earlier. But you came by that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, the truth of the matter is it's a miraculous story. It's a story of God's miraculous power moving in a man's life. And can I tell you, most importantly, what you need to know about the book of Jonah? It is the story of God's grace in Jonah's destiny. Hear me. God's grace in Jonah's destiny. It's a story not to be just about a whale or argued about. It's a story about how it affects me and how it affects my destiny. So in light of that, let's get right into the story. We're going to start out Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and let's just get right into it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, this is what he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up what? Before me. Now, just so you know, let me just kind of set the stage here. Nineveh was a town in northern Iraq. Northern Iraq, Iran area. The people that lived there were Assyrians. They were Syrian in their ethnic group. And now get this. They were a wicked people, an evil people, especially when it came to dealing with the Jewish people. They were enemies of the Jews. The Jews didn't like them. Syrians didn't like them. They were known for their brutality. They were mean and evil. They would chop people's heads off. Hello, somebody. Northern Iraq. That's been going on a long time. They would cut their tongues out if people said anything evil, wrong, that they didn't agree with. One of the things that they were known for is they would actually fillet men alive. Pretty evil. They would take and chop their heads off, and then as decor, they would set those heads out in front of the city so that people knew, you know, come shop at our malls. I don't even know. They were just evil people. Now get this. God tells Jonah, hey, Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. How many of you know Jonah has a problem? It would be like you and I, God telling us, hey, I want you to go drop down in the middle of an ISIS training camp and start telling them they're all going to hell. How many of you know that's not going well? That usually ends permanent decapitation type deal. Let me just say this. That would be this. So not only is this way outside of Jonah's comfort zone, Jonah didn't like these people. He hated them. He couldn't stand them. He'd rather call down fire on them than he would see them saved. Y'all know anybody like that? It's like, God, if you save them, don't put them beside me in heaven. Come on, you might know what I'm saying. Oh, come on, it's a joke. So Jonah has a major problem with this, and Jonah has a major problem with what's going on that God is trying to do. Now, let me ask you a question on a serious note. Have you ever been told to do something by God that you really didn't want to do? Come on, anybody ever been? Anybody ever been told by God to do something? Feel in your heart you're supposed to do something. Can I tell you, as a Christian, God always keeps us in that place where he's asking us to do something we really don't want to do. Now, if you've not been serving God long, he probably hasn't. But the longer you serve God, the more he moves you out of your comfort zone. There have been times whenever the Lord has told me to do something I really didn't want to do, man. I really didn't. Whether it's take a stand for this, whether it's believe for that, whether it's do this or do that, God is always keeping you on an edge where he asks you to do something you don't want to do. And the question is, what do you do with that? Because that is exactly what Jonah had to wrestle with. What do you do when God asks you to do something you don't really want to do? Well, I think there's some key things that you need to know all about it. Number one, know this. It's not about your performance or your response. Listen to me. It's not about your performance. Listen to this. I know people, you ask them, hey, man, would you pray? They say, man, I'm just not a good prayer. As if it's about their performance, you know? Hey, could you do this? Well, I don't know if I'd be good at that. No, you're missing the point. If God asks you to do something, God is not concerned about your performance. He's more concerned about your obedience. Will you just obey? If God asks you to, will you? God's not saying you have to be the best at it. Will you start a small group? Will you, watch this, witness to someone who works across from you at an assembly line? Well, I don't know if I can witness to them. I don't know if I'm good at it. I may not have all the answers. I got a series for you, by the way. But anyway, even if you don't have all the answers, God's not asking you to have all the answers. He's just asking you to obey. Asking you to obey. And listen to this. It's not about people's response either. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, if you ask me to do this, I'll do it as long as they celebrate me when I talk to them. What if God asks you to talk to someone that you know they're not going to respond well? Will you still obey God? Well, you should. You should. See, sometimes God puts us in a position where we feel like, Lord, what you're asking is too hard, and they won't like what I have to say. But the truth of it is, don't worry about that. The truth is, are you obedient? The goal with serving God is to be obedient. Would you guys agree with that? It's about being obedient. It's not about anything else. It's not about everybody celebrating you if you show up and invite somebody to church. It's not about everybody celebrating you if you pray for them and they're healed, because you didn't heal them anyway. It's about your obedience. If God says do it, will you do it? And let me just say this. Some of the most powerful things that have ever happened in my life have came into my life because I was just obedient. I'll give you one quick example of this, and I've told you this story before, but just really touches me whenever I think about it. We were in Louisiana. We were leaving Lake Charles, Louisiana. We were getting gas in our car. As we're getting gas, Michelle is asleep. And as we're getting gas in the car with Michelle asleep, I go and pay for the gas. As I get, and I got some cash on me, the Lord told me to give it to the man that was sitting on the curb. He looked like a homeless man. So I walk over there. I said, excuse me, sir. As soon as I did that, I can't remember how much money I had. It may have been $2. It may have been 12. I can tell you this. I was an E1 or 2 in the military. It wasn't 20. All right? Didn't have much money. So, but the Lord told me to give it. So I walked over there and I said, hey, can I give you this? The guy looked up, and I kid you not, on the outside he may have looked like rags, but I'm telling you, as soon as he looked up, his eyes were blue. I'm talking like blue, like ocean blue. His face did not look aged at all. How many of you know if people that have lived hard, their face usually looks like they've lived hard? And I'm telling you, his face was, and I handed him the money and I said, here you, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to give this to you. He goes, thank you. It wasn't like slurred. It wasn't like drunk. It wasn't like anything. He just said, thank you. And I was like, uh-oh, that's different. I turned and I walked to the car. I get in the car and I'm processing this. Michelle's asleep. We get about 5 minutes down the road on Interstate 10. And I go, Michelle, you just missed it. She's like, what? I said, I think I just saw an angel. She's like, what? But let me just say this. What would have happened if I wouldn't have obeyed? Would have never had that experience. Come on, am I right? Here's the truth. Sometimes God will ask you to do something, and the deal is, the faster you obey it, the easier it is. I know of people who will, God will speak to them to do something. Hey, go to your spouse and tell them you're sorry. Well, I don't know if I should do that, see, because I don't know. And they will talk themselves out of being obedient to God, right? Well, I don't know that she's a jerk. I just don't like her, you know. Well, you got bigger problems than saying you're sorry, bless God. Come on, right? Amen? So listen, what you need to do is understand it's not about your performance. It isn't how well you do it. And it isn't about their response. It's all about your obedience. Will you simply obey God? That's all God is asking you to do. Just simply obey. That's all he's asking you to do. All right, so in light of that, let's jump right back into the story and check this out. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus. Now remember, God called him to go to where? Nineveh. Where is he going? Tarsus. If you don't know anything about the geographical location, God called him to go to Nineveh, which was only about 500 miles, okay, which was northeast. He ends up going southwest, the opposite direction, and he ends up going 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. How many of you know Jonah has a rebellion problem? Mm-hmm. He's like, what, God, you called me there? No, I'm going that way, Jack. See ya. I'm out of here, right? Listen to this. Now watch as we read this. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that's a dumb knuckleheaded idea? How many of you know you can't run from God? Okay, I'm not going to even ask you. I'm going to tell you, you can't run from God. Psalms tells us that whether you make your home in the highest of heavens or in the lowest parts of the earth, that God's presence is everywhere. Yeah, you can't run from God. Okay, so anyway, he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarsus. Notice this. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid. Notice this. He went down and he paid. What am I trying to say? When you run from God, number one, know this. You're going further away than if you would just obey God. Number one, you're going to go 2,500 miles when it's only a 500-mile walk. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Check this out. And you're going to go down. Oh, you're going down. You're going down. Y'all ain't hearing it like I'm saying it, but I'm saying it. You're going down. Oh, you think you're going up. It's like, I can run from God. I got this. I can handle this. Mm-hmm. You're going down. If I'm picking somebody to bet on, you and God, guess who I'm picking? Oh, I'm picking God. He's going to win every time. Here's the truth. Anytime you disobey and run from God, you're going down. You're going down spiritually. You're going down mentally. You're going down emotionally. God wants to do big things in people's lives. But if they run from him, he can't touch them. He can't minister to them. Watch this. So he paid a fare, and he went down into go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. So he ran. Here's what he was really looking at. Noah. How about Jonah? Jonah, get this. He wants the easy way. He wants the easy way of following God. Can I tell you, there is no easy way to follow God. But let me tell you a truth. You ready? Write this down. If I was you, the enemy always makes it look easy to disobey God. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? He always makes it look easy. He always makes it look easy. That's his act. That's what he does. He says, I tell you what, come and follow me this way. Follow me this way. This is the easy way. They get mad at you, hey, tell them to kiss off. Go do your thing, right? You don't need them in your life. That's the easy way. Take the easy way. What you don't realize is the easy way is usually the hard way. When you are looking for the easy way out, it's usually the hard way out. You're going to learn more than you ever needed to know. Check this out. I heard this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Do you believe that? Somebody told me Saturday night that this was a country song. I told him, I don't know about that, but I could sing it. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. And cost you more than you want to pay. Okay, anyway. It really will, though. It really will. I know. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress, all right? I'm not going on tour or anything, but anyway. But the truth of the matter is, that is so true. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. And I tell you what, it'll absolutely drain your life. Drain your life when you walk contrary to God and you disobey him. Here's the truth. You ready? You have to make a decision, and so do I, whenever we follow God. Do we want to do what's easy? Or do we want to do what's right? Huh? Do we want to do what's easy? Or do we want to do what's right? Can I tell you? You should choose not what's easy, but what's right. So think about it this way. As a believer, you have a choice. Am I going to choose what's easy? Or am I going to choose what's right? I'll give you an example of this in my personal life. Whenever I was in the military, I wasn't serving God. While I was stationed at my first base there, I gave my heart to Christ, started serving God passionately and all that. Anyway, in light of that, here's what was going on. A guy that I worked with at my shop had a lawnmower. I know, it's a silly sad story, but here it is. He had a lawnmower and he mowed this apartment complex. He mowed their lawn, okay, for money. He was shipping out. He was going to Guam. His name was Rick. He said, hey, Charlie, do you want my side job mowing grass? All you need to do is pay me for the lawnmower. And I'll be honest with you, the guy was a jerk. So I said, yeah, I'll take your job and your lawnmower. Yeah, I'll pay you. Guess what I never did? Never did pay him. I ain't paying him. He's a jerk. You don't pay jerks. Care if it is his lawnmower. He's a jerk. Somebody should have stole his lawnmower. Charlie Riley before I got saved was very different. So I didn't like the guy, but he asked me if I wanted it. I said, sure, I'll take it. No problem. I never did pay the guy. I gave my heart to Christ, started serving the Lord. Next thing I know, 6 months, a year later, he calls the shop that I was working in. He's talking to the other guys. At right that moment, I had a choice to make. Am I going to do what's right or am I going to do what's easy? The Lord placed it in my heart. You should get on the phone, apologize, and tell him you'll send him the money if he will take it. So what did I do? I said to the other guy, I said, hey, let me talk to Rick. Rick gets on the phone and goes, hey, what's up, Charlie? I said, hey, I just want to let you know this, man. The way that all went down about your lawnmower, I'm so sorry. What I did was absolutely wrong. That was wrong of me. I should not have done that. I stole your lawnmower. Regardless of what went down, what I did was wrong. I said, so here's the deal. If you would like, I'd like to send you a couple $100 for the lawnmower, pay you what you asked for the lawnmower, and I would like to apologize and tell you I'm sorry. He said, here's the deal, Charlie. I don't care about the money, but I do appreciate your apology. Apology accepted. Don't worry about the money. I said, hey, listen, man, thanks so much, Rick, for forgiving me. I appreciate that. And man, I'm so sorry for how I treated you. That was the end of the conversation. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, was that easy? Cool. I've never seen that guy the rest of my life, and I knew I wouldn't see the guy. Was it easy? Was it right? Come on, you know, I know. It was right to set that thing in motion. It was the right thing. As a believer, God wants to know, are you willing to do what's easy? Are you willing to do what's right? He's not asking you to do what's easy. The enemy makes it easy. God wants you to do what's right. As a parent, as a father, I think about it as a father. I've had to make some tough things happen in my life. For example, one time Michelle and I, we were walking into the house. And how many of you know, I don't know about your house and how it works, but at our house, you don't insult the queen. Anybody know what I'm saying? Why? She is the parts lady and the food lady. You don't insult the queen. All right, so we're walking up to the house, and I've told you this story before. If I haven't, and it's your first time, praise God. We're walking up to the house, and Michelle said something, and he mouthed off. We were going into the door of the house. Right as he did, he mouthed off to her, and I kid you not, as fast as it came out of his mouth, pow! Slapped him in the back of the head. He was like, bam! He's like, what happened? I said, I don't know, lightning. Lightning just hit. You didn't see it? You're going to see stars here in a minute. So I just slapped him on the back of the head. I said, man, don't ever talk to your mom like that. You know? And that was that. Well, you know what the Lord told me? Hit him again. No, the Lord did not say that again. No, I'm just kidding. You know what the Lord spoke to my heart? Seriously, you know what he said? He said, don't use your hands to hit your kids. Even if that's the way you was raised, that's not the right way. Don't use your hands. So I took from that, I can use anything else. No. I took from that, no, here's what the Lord wanted me to know. And I'll give you the insight. The Lord wanted me to know that your hands are, actually in the Bible, your hands were made to convey blessing. Your hands are to bless your children with, right? That doesn't mean you don't discipline your kids. Okay. I'm of the opinion you can spank your kids. I got to say it that way. But I don't think you should use your hands. You can use a flip-flop, fly swatter, switch, whatever. But don't use your hands. Why? Because, listen, do you want to be, because I know. You want to be sitting at a table and you go to move your hand and your kid's like jerking from your hand? No, I want my hands to be used as things that wrap my arms around my kids and allow them to know that I love them. I don't want them to ever fear my hands. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? So because of that, whenever the Lord spoke to me, you know what I had to do? I had to go and apologize to my 9-year-old kid who just got mouthy with his mom. Is that hard? Come on. But do you want to do what's right or do you want to do what's easy? Come on. I want to do what's right. As far as mothers, I don't know. Mothers are perfect, so I'm going to leave that one alone. All right? We're just kidding. Mothers, I know. As a family, how many know as a family, it's not easy to come to church every weekend? Especially if you got a bunch of kids down there. You know, 4 kids. Get out of the house. Get in the car. Belt on. Quit biting your sister. I get it. But do you want to do what's right or do you want to do what's easy? Right? You want to do what's right. I think about it as a business owner. You know, treating your employees and how you treat them and how you value them. You know, you want to do what's right. They should be benefiting as you benefit. As the business is blessed, they should be blessed. Right? They should eat from the fruit of their work. Absolutely. You got to do what's right, not what's easy. As a church, how many of you know it's not easy to pay cash for all the property you're going to buy? How many of you know that's not easy? Why? You got to save that stuff. Y'all know what I'm saying? We don't have a money tree. Praise God. I had one guy that we were buying a piece of property off of, he goes, so how are you guys going to pay for this? You're going to have to go get a loan? I said, no, we're going to pay cash. He goes, well, I'm in the wrong business. I said, what, saving money? See what I'm saying? People think it comes easy. Oh, you're in the wrong business. No, I've been saving for years to be able to do this. Why, you want to do what's right or are you going to do what's easy? Come on, how many of you know? God's called us to do what is right. And I want to make sure I do what's right all the time. So listen, when it comes to doing what's right or what's easy, we can never be the kind of people that take the easy way out. Let's take the right way out. Come on, amen? So let me give you 3 things that I believe you do when you take the easy way. Let me tell you what happens in your world and in your life. Number one, you miss out. You miss out on what God wants to do in your life whenever you take the easy way. Let me give you an example of that. Whenever it comes to it, the truth of it is, the quickest way to postpone your destiny is by disobedience. Listen, think about it. Think of the privilege that Jonah had. Jonah had the privilege of being able to go into a city and turn the whole city for God. Turn the whole city for the kingdom of God. To really partner with God, be the vessel of God, so that God could speak to a whole city and save them and set them free. Jonah was missing out on that. Jonah was going to miss out on that completely. Jonah decided he was just going to disobey God and just do his thing. And how many of you know, God prepared some stuff for Jonah though. Because even though Jonah was done, God wasn't done with Jonah for sure. See, the truth of the matter is, look at this verse. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest of the sea, so that the ship was about to be what? To be broken up. Who sent the storm? Who allowed the storm? God did. Why did God allow the storm? Well, God just wanted to pay Jonah back. No, he didn't. Check this out. Here's what you need to know. The purpose of the storm is not to pay Jonah back. The purpose of the storm is to bring Jonah back. To bring him back. There's nothing that'll get your attention like a storm. I don't know if you've ever gone through a storm or you're going through a storm, but it's amazing how when the storm isn't there, we don't trust God to the same level as when the storm is there. When the storm is there, suddenly, my goodness, you become very aware that God, you need God and God needs you. Come on, am I right? Listen, Jonah's disobedience put him in a place of the storm. Now, I'm not here to tell you that every person that's in a storm, it's because of their disobedience. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is the storm gets your attention, though. Come on. Restoration. How many of you know no matter what storm you... Restoration. How many of you know no matter what storm you can go through, God can use it to restore you and do a work in your life? Amen? How can you ever have a testimony without a test? How can you ever have a victory without a war? Come on, am I right? Absolutely, absolutely. Here's the second thing you do. Not only do you miss out, but let me tell you this, and this is probably one of the greatest tragedies of walking contrary to God. When you take the easy way, others lose out. Others lose out when you don't obey God. See, we like to think that if I just disobey God, the only person I affect is me. Really? My dad was a drug addict, and he would like to believe that the only person that he would affect is him. Can I tell you, at 9 years old, when he went to prison, it affected somebody else? Come on, am I right? Absolutely. See, we like to believe that everything that we do and walk contrary to God only affects us. I'm here to tell you it affects everybody around you. I think about all the families that are without fathers because they're in jail. Because the fathers can't keep their nose right and live for God. Oh, they got jailhouse religion. That's okay. But the problem is you're not effective there. You need to be on the outside taking care of your family. How many single moms do we have trying to carry the load of the whole family because the dads are too busy messing around on them and working all the time? Come on. How many grandparents are raising kids that they were never designed to raise? Huh? Because the parents can't seem to get it right and figure it out. And yet they're so selfish they don't see that they're destroying their own families. We like to think that our sin only affects us, but I'm here to tell you, it affects everybody around us. It affects everybody around you. Now, let me give you a little bit of insight as far as Jonah's story. Check this out. It says this, then the mariners, and okay, can I go off for about 5 seconds? Why in the world is that not mariners? Huh? Mariners. Why? Because the baseball team? Is that why we got to have that word, mariners? It's marine. If you take that is, what is that word? Why isn't it mariners? Can I get a witness in here? Amen. I don't even know sometimes the English language, because I said it wrong in first service and everybody corrected me. And I don't give a rip. It's mariners in my world. But anyway, okay. All right, whatever. All right. Listen to this. Then the dudes on the boat were afraid. Is that better? Is that better? Praise God. All right. Whatever. All right. And people make fun of me because my English. All right. They were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw their cargo that was on the ship into the sea. Why? Because Jonah's on the boat. Jonah's on the boat. They're throwing their stuff overboard. They're lightening the load. I'll tell you how to lighten the load. So to lighten the load, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. That's a crack to me. Hear the boat. Boom, 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 boom. Are you kidding me? Look at the next verse. It cracks me up. It says, so the captain came and kicked him. It doesn't say that, but that's what I would have been. Here's the way this would be played out if Charlie Riley was the captain of this boat. So the captain came down and kicked him, and he said to him, what do you mean? Come on, am I the only one? Come on, I got any dudes in here? Dudes ain't gonna put up with that. What, the boat's falling asleep? What, we're throwing our crap overboard, and you're the one running from God? Oh, no, we're kicking you. Whatever. I didn't say we're doing it right. We're taking the easy way at that point with Jonah, all right? But listen to this. All this is happening because of who? Come on, it's all because of Jonah. Then it goes on to say, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots to see that we may know whose cause this trouble has come upon us. It says, so they cast lots and it fell on. Yeah, shocker. And the kicker is, if you read on down through the story, Jonah knows it's him. They cast lots. They say, I wonder why this trouble's come upon us. And it falls on Jonah. They ask Jonah, do you know anything about this? He goes, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I fear the Lord, and I'm running from God. And until you throw me in the water, the storm's going to stay here. You know what the next verse is? So they rowed all the harder. That's a shocking thing to me. They got someone that's rebellious running from God, and it's affecting their whole world. And they rode the harder. When you hang out with people that are walking contrary to God, they will wear you out. They will wear you out, man. Wear you out. And I'm not saying throw them overboard, but sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's like the freest thing that I can do for me is, bye-bye. And again, I'm not saying throw people overboard and give up on them, but I am saying that you can't let them be very close to you sometimes, especially if they're walking contrary to God. And if you think you have enough resources to support you and them, you're wrong. They threw all their stuff overboard, and all it did was nothing. Come on, amen? All right, I'll stop right there with all that. But here's the truth. You ready? How many people are suffering because of someone else's disobedience? Man, that's a powerful question. Listen, let me say it this way. One of the greatest things that I get the privilege to do and say is this. I'm the first generation of Christians in my family. Okay? On my father's side anyway. All right? So now they're Catholic. A lot of my family's Catholic, but I'm talking about spirit-filled, born-again Christian living for God. All right? And again, not to say anything negative about my family, but they're crazy. But anyway. Okay, so I'm the first one. Now watch. Watch this. I know we think of our sin as only affecting us, and I've told you that it's not. It's not. Okay? My dad was a drug addict. Why? His dad died at 34 in a shootout. His dad was got killed with a chainsaw. All right? You go back generations, my dad's family just really messed up. All right? Now, come to Charlie Riley. Okay? Now watch. 10 generations from now, they're going to look back and study our lineage. And they're going to look back and they're going to say, wow, we're blessed. Wow, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Where did the blessings of God start in our family? We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. And they get to Charles Edgar. Don't tell anybody I told you my middle name. Charles Edgar Riley. All right. They get to me and then they look at the guy before and they're like, ooh, what happened to him? And then they go to the guy before. Ooh. And then they get back 3 generations. It's like, wow, his address is the local jail. That's not exactly blessed. Oh, come on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So here's my point. Whether I realize it or not, I'm changing generations by living for God and being obedient to Him. And the things that my kids get to walk in freedom of, it's because someone's paid the price to free them from it. Come on. Right? So get this. If I can defeat anger, bad temper, and depression, guess what? My kids can be free from it. If I can defeat poverty and low self-esteem and all those things, guess what? My kids can be free from it. See, the truth of the matter is what you are willing to pay the price and defeat it the right way, God will free your entire family from it for generations to come. You're doing big stuff, man. You may not feel like it sometimes. You may not feel like you're making progress. But if you're defeating things in your life, God's doing big things in your life. Amen? I believe that with all my heart, man. No doubt. Here's the last thing I'll give you, and then I'll stop. It says, when you take the easy way, it's not really that easy. Have you figured that out? When you take the easy way, it's not really that easy. Here's the truth. The easy way is really God's way, even if it looks like it's the hard way. The easy way is God's way. You want the hard way, watch the enemy. Do it the easy way. Shortcut it. And I promise you, you will end up in an absolute mess. Look at this verse. It says this. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. All right? And Jonah was in the belly of the fish what? 3 days and 3 nights. What was the purpose of the fish? There's one or two mentalities. You ready? Everybody check this out. There's the mentality of the fish is there to punish Jonah until Jonah gets right. Or there is this. The fish was there, not as punishment, but as provision. God was providing a way to save Jonah. God was saving Jonah. God was saving Jonah not just from what happened on the boat, but from himself. How many of you know, I believe personally that at the point that he hit the water, he probably gave up on himself. I'm probably going to die out here in the water. I'm done. How many of you know God was not done with Jonah, though? God was not done with Jonah. Jonah had a fish prepared for him, which tells me, you know, we act like God showed up one day and Jonah jumped in the water and God looked at the fish and said, grow. No, God prepared that fish probably 20 years before that, growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So whenever Jonah hit the water, that whale or big fish would swallow him up. Say, why is that so important? Because it wasn't punishment. It was God's way of protecting him. It was God's way of getting him in a place where Jonah could deal with Jonah. Hear what I'm saying? Absolutely. So now, is the easy way the right way? No, not always. Not always. But is the easy way God's way? Come on, absolutely, every time. See, here's the truth. God was not giving up on Jonah. Let me say it this way. You ready? And I'll shut up. Jonah was placed in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights because of his disobedience. Jesus was placed 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth because of our disobedience. Check this out. After 3 days and three nights, Jonah was spit up on dry ground, by a whale for God to give him a second chance. After 3 days and three nights, Jesus was resurrected so that we could have a second chance. And that's the truth. So no matter where you are in the spectrum, let's say you've been disobedient, maybe you know you've been walking contrary to God, I'm here to tell you, don't give up on yourself. Because here's the reality, God isn't giving up on you. If there is breath in your being, which I don't see nobody dead, well, a couple look like, but anyway, then let me just assure you of this, God is not giving up on you. And even though you may be frustrated with yourself, you may be irritated with yourself, you feel like everything isn't going right, I'm here to tell you, God is not done with you. You still have a destiny and you still have a purpose and God is not done. You may have to go through a storm. You may have to go through some things to get there. But I assure you of this, God is not done. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. So listen to this. Bottom line is, and I'll sum it up and shut up, all right? Here it is. You miss out whenever you take the easy way. Listen to this. Others lose out, and this is no joke. Whenever you take the easy way, it's really, really not that easy. God don't want you to take the easy way. God wants you to obey him. Amen? Give the Lord a big clap. I'm done.